If you're a junior among us, you should have a quiz sheet. If you don't yet have a quiz sheet, they're available at the children's check-in. I'm sure Chris will be able to pass one to anyone who needs one. Come grab me at the end. As always, there'll be prizes. We'll go through your quiz sheet. If you're a grown-up and you happen to have found a quiz sheet, good luck, and you may get a prize if you approach me afterwards and you've got enough right answers. I laughed to myself so much when someone came up to me and said, we've got no visuals this morning, we've got no lyrics, no slides, because it's just been one of those mornings. And you'll understand more why when I say what I'm about to say. So as a one-off this morning, I was going to be preaching on some big, messy issues surrounding our society, including Brexit and all sorts of other national identity crisis and Christian values being out of place and things like abortion so on, homosexuality. The whole thing's a mess. And some of you had come to me and said, why don't we bring God's word to bear on that and see what God has to say about this and have some comfort and some hope and some clarity. That was the plan for this morning. However, I'm honestly not chickening out of that message, and hopefully we'll have it again sometime soon. It's sitting on my laptop at home. Due to unforeseen circumstances and a few sort of pastoral emergencies that have driven various different trucks through my week, this morning at the last minute, change in direction, we're going to be looking at Psalm 63, okay? But it may be in God's providence that that is what was needed. In fact, I know it is, because I have a doctrine that God is providential and everything happens for a reason. No such thing as a coincidence. So I guess God knew better than I and we did. And what we need to hear this morning, some of us in particular, is Psalm 63. So I'm going to grab a Bible, which would always help. And Psalm 63 is really about spiritual health. Someone has a page number, shout it out. I'm looking at page 479, thank you, 479. So let me start with a question. Out of 10, right now, how would you rate your personal spiritual health? You know, for the Christians among us, I guess that means, you know, how close are you to the Lord? Are you filled with the Spirit? Are you being faithful in good, healthy disciplines such as reading your Bible and praying and fellowship, and is your heart in tune with God when you work? So, you know, those are the kinds of questions that will be in your mind. Maybe you're here this morning not as a believer. You came to support beautiful Chuck within Muz, or you've just wandered in off the street out of curiosity, or you're searching spiritually. Wherever anyone is coming from this morning, how would you rate your personal spiritual health? Give it a mark out of 10. Because Psalm 63 confronts us with the question, how is your soul? Can we just turn the mic down a bit? I think I'm hearing a bit of distortion. How's that? Let's try that. That's the question of Psalm 63. How is your spiritual health? And it gives three marks of a healthy soul. And each one is signaled by the mention of the word soul. Nice and easy. So we're going to read the psalm together. See if you can spot each of these marks as we go through. Remember the clue. They're each signaled by the word soul. And I thought for once it would be good for all of us to read the psalm out loud at the same time. So page 479. Can I ask all of us to stand? Just help our breathing. Bit of a mark of respect for what we believe is the word of God. And let's read Psalm 63. We say together, O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and love. Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips when I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Thank you. Well read. Do take a seat. And so the first mark of a healthy soul appears in verse 1, and it's this. The healthy soul thirsts after God. I wonder if you're thirsty right now. Quite a hot day. Well, a healthy soul thirsts after God. Verse 1 again. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Now, I wonder what a dry and weary land where there's no water makes you think of. I wonder where it is for you. Maybe as we look at the incredibly depressing news on the BBC website, just pick a day, any day, there'll be lots of stuff that's really sad and depressing. Maybe that makes you think that our world in general could be that dry land where there is no water. Maybe you think of it as being our own nation because of all the issues I had been asked to bring the Bible to bear on, you know, Brexit and Christian values going out of date and so-called tolerance, which isn't really tolerance, it's only tolerant of people who, you know, have views that the tolerant people like, and you know, all of the knife crime, and maybe think it's our nation. Maybe think it's our city, Croydon. You know, talk about knife crime and so many other social problems. You look around, maybe you're out late at night, and you know, Croydon, we love it. We want to love the hell out of it. We're committed to it. Boy, does it have its sadnesses and its issues. Or maybe it's your workplace, you know, which seems to just suck the life out of you. You're close to the Lord and in loving fellowship and worship on a Sunday, but Monday morning, you're back at work where so much goes on that seems to make God seem so far away. And your just heart sinks when you drive into the car park at the office or get off the bus. Or maybe your dry and weary land where there is no water is sometimes you. Maybe it's we ourselves. Maybe we're discouraged by, you know, my lack of faith, my lack of godliness, my lack of quiet times, my lack of spiritual gifts. Maybe we just feel spiritually dry. To be honest, we're not that excited about God. We know we're meant to be, and we can put on a brave face, a good performance on Sunday, but we can't sort of drum it up in us. A bit boring. Well, if so, this psalm can help. This psalm shows why God is worth our souls thirsting after him. Because look at verse 2. Here are some reasons for us to be thirsty to God, even if we don't feel like it. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. And we actually have three reasons. Two in verse 2, one in verse 3. So first of all, here's the first reason. Consider God's power. What's the most physically powerful thing you can think of in this world? For me, I gave it a few seconds thought last night. I'm thinking the sun. Think of the sun. Countless, constant nuclear explosions pumping out more light and heat and energy millisecond by millisecond than we can imagine, and doing that for years and years and years. Doing it long before we were born. It'll carry on doing it long after we've dead, century after century after century. And even that is less than nothing compared to God's power. He made it. It's in his back pocket. And that's not even one of the big ones as stars and suns go around the universe, around the galaxy. But God's power isn't just seen in the big things either. It's also seen in the tiny things. So everyone right now, just look at your one of your fingernails. Look at one of the fingernails on your hands. What you're looking at is, in fact, countless billions of neutrons and protons surrounded by countless billions of electrons. Each one of those electrons is spinning at 2,200 kilometers a second. Try and think, 2,200 kilometers a second, billions of electrons in your fingernail are spinning at that speed. And God sets and maintains each one of those on its exact trajectory, at its exact speed. Keeps it in motion exactly as he wants it to. The power of God is extraordinary. And even more than in creation, the Bible says his power was seen ultimately when he defeated our greatest enemy, when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, Ephesians 1 says. The same power that's at work when he raises believers, which he already has done for all of us who are trusting in Jesus, from being spiritually dead. But another reason, as well as God's power in verse 2, to thirst after God, is the final word of verse 2, his glory. In other words, the demonstration and display of his character as seen in his actions. We're not going to dwell on God's glory now. It's something I bang on all the time at Redeemer because the Bible bangs on about it all the time. It's the bottom line. It's the point of the universe. It's the meaning of life. It's why he made us, why he saved us, the secret of our fulfillment, his glory. And then there's a third reason to follow God, which is in verse 3. His power, his glory, and his, and this is the word I misread during the reading. I think you all got it right, and I was looking a line too low, and his love. This isn't any old love. This is a very, very special, particular kind of love, which in the Hebrew is captured by the word hesed. And we really don't have any exact equivalent in English for this hesed love. But the idea is one of unwavering, unshakable kindness that never, ever, ever lets someone go, no matter what. And it's so precious and so valuable that this love is even better than life itself. The psalmist is saying, if I had a choice between living and not having this love, or dying having had this love, every time, immediately, I choose to die having had this love. That's how precious it is. More than life itself, it's valuable. And so having seen God's power and glory in verse 2 and his love in verse 3, no wonder the psalmist then exclaims in verse 4, so I will bless your name as long as I live. I bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. He's found it finally in his soul to have a thirst after God because of his power, his glory, his love. That's the first mark of a healthy soul. It thirsts after God. Second mark in verse 5 is this. A healthy soul is satisfied in God. So many things in our world compete to be the methods of quenching our satisfaction, don't they? Maybe the places that vie for you to quench your satisfaction are a particular form of pleasure, like physical pleasure, be it food or something else. Comfort. Maybe, you know, you live for those duvet days. Money, families, friendships, romantic fulfillment, work, travel, holidays, thousand other options too. We're surrounded by good things, and they are all good things. Every single one of those things I just mentioned, I hope you're enjoying, because they're gifts from God. Thing is, we often confuse the gifts for the giver. The giver is the true satisfier. Even just his gifts are so good, we fixate on them and miss the point, which is where they come from. But the healthy soul isn't seduced by the gifts. The healthy soul finds satisfaction, not ultimately in the gifts. It enjoys them. It doesn't bow down and worship them like mini gods, like we often do. It finds satisfaction in the giver. Verse 5. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food, and my mouth will praise you with joyful lips. So a way of thinking about it is that when things are satisfied, when they're full, like, you know, when you have a really good, really big meal, like the belly buster special at my local caf. Not that I would know much about that. This is just purely hypothetical example. When you're full of amazing food, it feels great. If you manage not to like overeat, so you feel sick, you just feel like full. You just sit there and this sense of satisfaction comes over you. In the same way, for our souls to be satisfied, we have to feed them. We have to fill them up. That's exactly what the psalmist is doing in verse 6. He's feeding his soul. He's feeding his soul with God, stuffing himself. Verses 5 and 6. My soul will be satisfied as with fat and rich food. My mouth will praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you, I'm going to feed myself on you. When I remember you upon my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night. And as he meditates on who God is and what he's like, he brings to mind more things about God in verse 7. Have a look at verse 7. He's filling and feeding his soul with the fact that God's been his help, that God's been his protection. That's what the picture of being in the shadow of God's wings is about. That God's help and protection, when he stops to think about it, make him burst with joy. And so that is the second mark of a healthy soul. satisfied in God. And we've seen how its owner helps that to happen. They stop and consider. They remember. They meditate. They feed their soul. I know I bang on about what Christians call quiet times all the time. It's only mechanistic, and you could be healthy and not have a particular discipline of time and a place where you regularly read the Bible and pray, and you could regularly read the Bible and pray and be unhealthy. But as far as mechanisms go, it's probably the mainstay of being healthy. Carving out regular time every single day just to stuff your soul with God, meditate on him. And if you don't currently have the habit of doing that, can I recommend the online bookstore through Redeemer's website? There are loads of great Bible study notes on offer that will guided readings that can help you just feed off the scriptures to start your day and work towards a healthy soul in that way. Third and final mark, as I come to a close, of a healthy soul is in verse 8. And it's that the healthy soul clings to God. Verse 8, my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. So the healthy soul leans and trusts on him. It depends on him. It clings to him. And with very good reason, it's going to need to, because look at verses 9 to 11. Verse 9, but those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. So from our perspective as Christians, we have four main enemies who seek to destroy our lives. Sin, Satan, death, and judgment. So sin, the devil, and demonic evil, supernatural evil, physical death, and then spiritual death, eternal death, if our sins aren't forgiven, if we haven't trusted in Jesus to be saved in that way. But as verses 9 and 10 say, those enemies will be dealt with. They have been defeated. They will be destroyed. Verses 9 and 10. Those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. Verse 10, they shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. Now, how is that so? That meant one thing in David's cultural context, but we can extend that spiritually, extend that principle and apply that to ourselves in the way I just have because of what the New Testament says. And the answer for how those enemies can be defeated is by the cross of Jesus Christ. On the cross, our King took those enemies on and beat them. He allowed them to lay themselves on him fully. He absorbed the worst they could do. And yet he was too strong for them, as shown when he then came back to life. All of which is why verse 11 is true. But the King shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exult, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. So if you ever find yourself thinking thoughts like, am I really saved? Will God really accept me? I guess I trust in Jesus, I'm sorry, but given the frequency of that particular sin of mine, or given the gravity of that particular sin of mine, I can't imagine myself getting into heaven. Then I just have to say to you in love, don't worry, because you're wrong. You're lying. You're lying to yourself. That the size or frequency of sin is completely irrelevant for those who repent of it and trust in Jesus' death to pay for it. Or if thoughts like that pop into your head and they're demonic in origin, that demon's lying mouth will be stopped one day, as the verse says. And you can tell it to shut up and point it to the cross and point yourself to the cross. Or if you have thoughts in your head like, I'll never be fully satisfied in God. These other options for satisfaction are far more real and immediate and tangible. Or thoughts like, where I'll find real satisfaction is relationship with that guy that isn't honoring God. Maybe he's not a believer. Or that career success, or that sport, that source of pleasure. Again, those voices are lying, and their mouths will be stopped one day. So don't listen to them, and instead meditate what God is really like. Go to the horse's mouth. Do what the psalmist does. Feed your soul from the scriptures. Have a quiet time. And then you'll be on the road to a really healthy soul, which is the key to more fulfillment and more happiness than anything else this world has to offer. And if you don't think, if the number you gave yourself at the start is kind of five or under, you don't think of yourself as having a very healthy soul, and you can't relate to a lot of what I've spoken about this morning, don't worry about, don't get stressed about that inappropriately. Don't just walk away depressed. Pray about it. Come to God about it. Ask him to start giving you a soul with this kind of health. And those are the prayers that, when they're spoken in earnest, God loves to hear and answer spectacularly. So let's finish, as we stay seated, just by taking some quiet to look through Psalm 63 one last time before I close in prayer. Loving Father, this morning's gone quite differently to how it was planned to go in lots of ways, but thank you that you're sovereign. Thank you for providence. Lord, we trust that for many of us this morning, this is what we needed to hear, not plan A from the pulpit. And so, Father, we ask as a church that, and for the guests and visitors here this morning, that you would grant us souls that thirst after you, that are satisfied in you, and that cling to you. Help us to be so mindful of your power when we don't really thirst after you, to be honest. Help us to be so mindful of your love. Help us to be so mindful of your glory. Lord, help us to be mindful too of the enemies that David references here, that we see with more clarity spiritually because of the rest of the Bible, sin, Satan, death, and judgment. Help us to be mindful that our King has defeated them, and so help us to exult in him. And we pray these things in his name. Amen. Amen. Right, that's it. Happy Sunday. If you have children, please go and pick them up. If you have